Hello everyone and welcome to Culturally Relevant, a podcast about film, television, art, and culture. I'm David Chen, and today is a bonus episode of the podcast, a diary episode. I've gotten some feedback that people have missed these episodes. It's basically just often me or me and my partner in life talking about what's happening with the coronavirus pandemic. And so we thought we'd throw another bonus episode into the hopper because I think there is a lot that's happened this week that people are going to want to process and think about. So joining me today is at Joy of Napping. Joy, how's it going today?
It's good. You know, you and I have actually not discussed this topic much, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you think.
Indeed. Today is May 15th, 2021. And the big news that happened this week is about 2 days ago. I'm going to read, there's like four articles that I want to read from for this conversation. And as usual, we'll link to everything in the show notes. And by the way, I should also mention you can find more episodes of this podcast at culturallyrelevantshow.com and also follow this podcast on Twitter at CrevShow, C-R-E-V-S-H-O-W. So there's four articles I want to discuss, but one of them is about how federal guidance says vaccinated Americans may go without masks. I'm quoting from the New York Times here, quote, federal health officials on Thursday advised Americans who are fully vaccinated against the coronavirus that they could stop wearing masks or maintaining social distance in most settings, the clearest sign yet that the pandemic might be nearing an end in the United States. End quote. This is a huge step, and I think a lot of people were pretty angry about how this was rolled out. I'm certainly pretty upset about how it was rolled out.
And you're upset. Why?
Well, according to a separate New York Times article, there is a piece entitled Hundreds of Epidemiologists Expected Mask Wearing in Public for at Least a Year. And so they've basically what they did is they interviewed many epidemiologists. And in an informal survey that occurred, 80% said they thought Americans would need to wear masks in public indoor spaces for at least another year. Just 5% said people would no longer need to wear masks indoors or outdoors. And one person said in this article, unless the vaccination rates increase to 80 or 90% over the next few months, we should wear masks in large public indoor settings, end quote. Why am I upset by this news? Number one, certainly I think that, like, on a scientific basis, if we believe the vaccine works, which we do, then it then stands to reason that if you are in a enclosed space with lots of vaccinated people, you don't really have that much to fear. Now, there's still a lot we don't know about the virus, but, like, on a fundamental scientific level, I agree with the sort of underlying logic behind the new announcements and the new guidelines, right?
And I think the logic is twofold. One is you are unlikely to get sick. And the second thing is you are unlikely to pass it to somebody else. And I think the second piece was less known until recently.
Yeah.
But it is true, or it's looking true.
Right, right. So it's not like I think that people are actually, like, in danger, although there's a lot of, like, unknowns out there in my, from my understanding. Like, a lot of people have questions that I don't think were adequately addressed. Like, what if you're immunocompromised? Or what if you have kids who aren't vaccinated or can't get vaccinated? Like, what's your situation? And, like, I don't know that people got, if there were clear forthcoming answers, I don't know that people felt like they had those answers or had access to those answers. The problem is that I think the way in which it was rolled out bears absolutely no connection to actual real-world human behavior. Because essentially they're saying this is our guidance. Private companies can do whatever they want. Governments can do whatever they want. But our guidance is, hey, no masks are no longer necessary. And so then what we've seen is the logical thing that's happened as a result of that, which is that a bunch of retailers have said, hey, if you're vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask, which, since we basically have no way of verifying whether people are vaccinated or not, it's resorts to, like, an honor system. And the one, I haven't learned that many lessons over the course of the last year, but one of them is we can't trust people to do the right thing.
Well, so I think what you're pointing to is a moral hazard problem that has, like, two or three layers. And I agree, like, retailers, these poor retail employees, like, the last thing they need after, you know, it's telling people, hey, you're wearing your mask under your nose, and then, like, getting assaulted for it. A year of that, the last thing they need is to then be, like, verifying people's, like, CDC records, right. You know, like, it's got to be the honor system. But I think there's, like, a moral hazard problem, one, which is that the people who are unvaccinated are less likely to believe that COVID exists in the first place. So they might just not be wearing a mask.
Yeah, or that COVID is a threat or a big deal in any way. They might believe it exists, but they're like, you probably aren't going to die from it. It's fine.
They're less likely to be mask wearers in the first place. So you would have, like, this whole population, in theory, of some size that is both infectious and not wearing a mask on principle, and, like, kind of free riding off the rest of us wearing masks.
Right.
Number two is that it's annoying to have to prove that you're vaccinated, or people might just say, hey, you know, I only got one of the two shots, or it hasn't been 2 weeks, but, you know, no one else is wearing a mask. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. The case counts are dropping. Like, there's a lot of that, again, incentive to free ride. So I think people will, for that reason, also not wear a mask. And then I think there's, like, obviously the third really scary component is that wearing a mask is political for some reason. In this country, it seems more than in any other country.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who aren't vaccinated might believe that it's a thing, but, like, choose not to wear a mask because they don't want to make a statement that they're basically a Democrat.
Yeah.
It literally, like, there are people who are interviewed who say, oh, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I wouldn't want anyone to think I'm a Democrat.
Yeah. Which is just bizarre, because you wouldn't say that about, like, seatbelts, you know? I mean, maybe you would, but, like, it is truly upsetting that it has been politicized in the way that it has. And, like, the other thing I want to point out is also that all the stuff you said is true. The thing I would add that kind of is orthogonal to some of that is this idea of, like, it just feels like this country is really good at spiking the football before they get to the end zone.
The timing of the announcement is, frankly, more weird to me than the announcement. So I think it was intended to be an incentive.
Correct.
Now, I don't think you can incent people. Like, so let me take, like, two steps back.
Yep.
There, you know, our pace of vaccination is slowing due to a lack of people asking for the shot, not because we don't have enough shots available to flow. Like, at this point, you could take your pick of Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J in most places in America and find your way to the one you even want, which is incredible privilege when you think about what's happening in India or other countries. And there are two reasons. One is hesitancy, so people don't want to get the vaccine. And the other is access. And I would say by population, of course, you know, anybody could have one or both of these factors at play. But many of the populations that were initially quite hesitant, like Black, Latino, disabled folks, et cetera, who were like, you know, I'm not comfortable with being sort of like part of this government experiment, given this government's history of how they treat people of color, and especially vulnerable people of color. Like, the numbers of folks that are hesitant in those populations has plummeted. And now, to the extent that there are gaps, and there are gaps in terms of what percentage of them are vaccinated, it's actually more due to access. So access could be the transportation. It could be getting time off of your job. It could be trying to figure out a window where you can take time off twice,
right?
Not just to get the shot, but then also to recover because you're hearing about the side effects. And also, you know, there are people for whom they will get fired if they miss a shift, you know? So I think it can actually be like a financial hardship as well. And Biden has, you know, suggested maybe a program where you pay people to have for their missed time at work, et cetera. Right. People are focusing more and more and more on these access issues. It's also like physically, where are the vaccines? Like there was a real effort to do mass vaccination sites, but those are inherently, they're very efficient for the government, but they're very inefficient for people to get to. And so now you see lots of little mobile pop-up clinics in our neighborhoods, yeah, et cetera, which I think are a lot friendlier feeling and meet, literally meet people where they are. The hesitancy piece is like, so I think we will work our way through the access issues, largely. We probably will never get 100% of the way there. But I've seen, you know, some encouraging things, even where we live in Seattle, King County. The hesitancy stuff, I don't know that we're going to get, you know, much farther on that in the next, in the short term.
You're saying of the remaining people who are hesitant, right? And as you indicated, like in minority populations, it's gone down a lot. But there are still subgroups like white evangelicals, right, where it's there's a lot of hesitancy still.
And it's higher, more hesitancy among men in general, right, than right, among women.
So among the remaining groups, you're saying like you're not sure how much more we are able to like lower this hesitancy given our existing the existing measures we have, and perhaps somebody made the just absolutely on its face bizarre calculation that like, hey, telling people you don't need to wear a mask anymore if you're vaccinated is going to incentivize them to get vaccinated, which is just, if you think about it for literally 20 seconds, is complete and utter nonsense to me. Like it, what we have seen over and over again is people will lie and deceive and basically be raging assholes in order to continue their way of life in this country.
Look, I have a much less harsh version of it than mm-hmm. that. You know, I think that a common refrain I hear from people who about people who are still hesitant is that the vaccines were developed too quickly mm-hmm. and they don't want to be in the first year, let's say, of the vaccine. It's not that they're even anti-vaccine per se. Now, yes, some of these people think that maybe Bill Gates put a microchip in it and it's all related to 5G and like just sort of wild conspiracy theories that are like really absurd.
You're talking about people that have like completely legitimate reasons.
I think there is a reasonable argument,
yes,
to be skeptical of the vaccine, to be skeptical of the push to get the vaccine, and you still believe in science and you still believe in that COVID exists.
Yeah, I don't know that what you're saying is conflicting with anything I'm saying though. I mean,
but my point is that if I have to choose between, like, I've already decided the vaccine is scary.
Yeah,
it's scarier to me than getting COVID. And my alternative, like the carrot, is I get to not wear a mask. I'll just wear the mask.
Right. Sure. If you're in that category.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people who, the people I'm referring to are the anti-maskers, the anti-vaxxers.
Oh, they're unreachable.
I mean,
I think.
Maybe, you know. But regardless, what this guidance from the CDC will do is embolden those people. Because now, they don't have to wear a mask indoors anymore. And it's like, and going back to my original point about spiking the football, you know, you already know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna do a pop quiz anyway, okay? What percent vaccinated is the United States population? Fully vaccinated? Because if you didn't know the answer to that question, you'd think, oh, well, it's got to be something like 60, 70%. Like, we got to be so close to the finish line that they feel comfortable releasing this guidance so that people can stop wearing their masks, because God forbid we would get so close to like something approaching herd immunity and then just like remove one of the final protections we have to keep that from happening.
Did you actually want the answer?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it depends on if you're talking about the entire U.S. population or the 16 plus population.
Yes, sure.
But I think the answer's in the neighborhood of 40%.
Well, according to the New York Times vaccinations by country chart, it's 36%, but that might be the entire population.
I think that's the entire population. Yeah. And I think that it is really clear to me that in the past 4 weeks, the idea of herd immunity went from being a thing that we all thought we were aiming toward a thing that it became clear we were never going to achieve. Now, people have barely had time to digest that. I don't think people really deeply get that. We're not even trying to get to herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
you can get a lot of dampening effect from still having 60% of the population vaccinated, let's say. But I don't think we can achieve herd immunity given how intractable some people's hesitancy or resistance to the vaccine is.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the goalpost does move. I think the idea of getting rid of masks for vaccinated folks as an incentive is still really hard to follow as logic.
Yeah.
I think the only logic that makes any sense to me is the one that you said at the beginning, which is like, well, if you think you're really protected, then probably you're really protected.
Yeah. The idea of it being an incentive is just nonsense, infuriating nonsense. And
well, it feels very foolhardy, and it feels like it risks the progress that we've made up until now. And it feels like it requires a lot of great judgment from people who have shown the shittiest judgment for the past year. And so I was already very much not looking forward to interacting with those people. And now I would say my fears are at 11.
So according to an article at New York Times, major U.S. retailers drop mask requirements for vaccinated shoppers, effectively moving to an honor system. That's the headline. Walmart announced on Friday that fully vaccinated customers no longer need to wear masks, and fully vaccinated employees would no longer need to as of Tuesday. Costco and Publix are also lifting mask requirements for vaccinated people. Starbucks will also make masks optional for vaccinated customers starting on Monday. Many retailers said they would not require proof of vaccination.
Look, I think many, many, many people had the whiplash reaction that you and I had, that these epidemiologists had, you know, that it just like doesn't square with like their understanding of the world, especially to do it now as we are still finishing getting people second doses, etc. In general, whenever we've set out a guideline, people have done that plus 10%. You know, they've been more permissive rather than more restrictive in terms of how they, the signal they take that for their own behavior. What I am, you know, interested in more than was this a good thing or a bad thing, because I think it was a somewhat bad thing, and I think it was a very badly timed thing.
Yes, extremely poorly timed and executed. Maybe the idea, the core idea might have been okay, but the execution was horrible.
I agree, and it actually damages the CDC's credibility for me.
Yes,
dramatically, like more than anything else that has happened until now.
Maybe second to only their announcement to not wear masks early on in the pandemic.
But I can see why they thought that. Mm-hmm. I literally can't see how they got here.
Yeah,
they've done a good job, I think, of taking in inputs that are clearly balancing like some realism with the science. I would have liked them to be more conservative, yes, probably at every step, but I could sort of see the argument.
You could kind of see yeah.
And I have tended to have my own set of ideas about what, and look, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I also know it doesn't cost anybody, nor me, anything to wear a mask. It's not a big fucking deal. So if I choose to do that, and it's turning out that I'm not really much more protected, BFD, you know, so I wore a mask. Like it took 1 second out of my day. I think that in this case, the strange thing is, as a result of this, I'm more likely to keep wearing masks because I'm more afraid of who else is out there and what they're doing. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But
I'm less
think
likely to go to Trader Joe's if everybody there
is not wearing
is maskless, and I don't know who's vaccinated and not. You know, like I'm more likely to go at 8 in the morning when no one's there or 10 at night. I'm going to be avoiding people more than I was prior to this announcement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also, I am, so first of all, a few things in what you said. Number one, you said, hey, if I need to wear a mask, you know, BFD, it's fine. I can do it. Apparently, a significant portion of the United States population doesn't feel that way. And I'm not just talking about like hardcore Republicans, alt-right people.
Sure, yeah, I know.
I'm talking about like liberals, like a lot of people saying like a few weeks ago, people were like, we got to relax outdoor mask mandates. Like, why are people asking us to wear masks outdoors? And I'm not saying like mandates should be necessary, but like there is a fundamental, it is one of the most baffling things I've ever seen. I do not understand it. I do not get it at all.
Do you think it's because we're Asian? I'm not actually like totally kidding.
I mean, I will say, I think a lot of the calls to like relax the outdoor mask mandates came from white people. And I think there is this if I had to like blithely speculate about it, I think there's probably this sense that like the mask and like preventing people from seeing your very expressive face is some form of oppression, and that we need to, and that now that it's no longer technically necessary in all cases to have the mask on, we should get that mask off as quickly as possible, because like otherwise we are being oppressed in some way. This is just my complete speculation, but like this is true. A few weeks ago, there were, and I tweeted about this. I screenshotted like Atlantic, Philadelphia Inquirer, like all these places, San Francisco Chronicle, all these places. Everyone was like, why are people wearing masks outdoors? Don't wear masks outdoors, silly people. And it's like, who gives a fuck, man? Like, let people wear a mask outdoors if they want. It's not a big deal, right? But it's, well, really important to people that if it's not necessary, they're not wearing masks. Like, I get the art. I've read all the arguments, but it's just like, leave people the fuck alone.
I think the argument presupposes,
yeah,
that who would want to wear a mask?
Right.
It's absurd. How awful is it? You know, and so I find that very strange, because my point about us being Asian is that while we're both born, I'm born in the United States and you're basically raised in the United States, so it's not like we go back to Asia. There are tons of people who outside of a pandemic choose to wear masks in public,
yes,
for reasons of pollution or just freaking consideration for other people. And they are very, very disproportionately Asian. So if you go to East Asian countries, you'll see this a lot. Or even in the United States, you might have, prior to the pandemic, seen somebody wearing a little surgical mask outside, and that person was very disproportionately likely to be Asian. And it's partly because they learned from SARS and other epidemics to be significantly more considerate of their fellow man when in crowded places.
Yeah.
And
it's totally, I think you're right. It's totally a cultural thing. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Well, so I just want the freedom. I mean, after the year that we have been through, I would just like the freedom to make a decision to put a mask on because I want to, without feeling like I'll be coded as more foreign, paranoid, or that I'm not smart because I don't understand the science.
Right.
And
right.
I think those.
I don't think you're going to get your wish, though.
That's, oh, I know I won't. Yeah. And it's, I'm talking partly about the cultural heritage of being Asian, but the downside is, like, I'm not trying to make myself look more foreign as an Asian American, you know, starting to recirculate in society right now, because it's literally a dangerous place,
yeah,
to be coded as an outsider. And I already am, just because of my features. But I feel like I'll attract even more attention to, well, myself by wearing a mask.
Some people think if you wear a mask, you put sunglasses on, you put a hat on, you're actually like, it's hard to distinguish what you are.
And racially,
this, yeah, racially, and this
if
is,
your skin tone is,
yeah, yeah, yeah. If yes, correct, and I was reading,
adjacent.
I was reading a Guardian piece about like why people continue to wear masks, and there's very legitimate reasons for people to continue to wear masks. One of which is like it's like a disguise, so maybe you don't get assaulted if you're in public.
Yeah, but you have to wear all that other stuff anyway. Right. I hear what you're saying,
but point being, you're right, there's a lot of cultural elements of like why we might feel it's okay to wear a mask and why a lot of Americans don't feel it's okay. And the thing that is so crushing is it felt like we were really starting to get to a place where mask wearing was normalized, where you could go outside, wear a mask, which is like a very normal activity in other parts of the world, and as you said, not be judged for it. Not be looked askance for it, not be thought of as dumb for it, not be thought of as submissive for it. Like, it's just a normal thing. It takes a lot of time to turn a culture towards or against something. It took a lot of time for smoking to not be acceptable indoors. It took a lot of time for seatbelts to be considered like a standard. And it felt like we were on a decent path to like masks being an acceptable part of life, that I just literally don't know if that path has been completely disrupted at this point. And if we will never get back to that. Because, I mean, I hope we will. I hope, like, if we have spikes, which, like, probably we will, that it's like, hey, the mask's got to go back on again. But, like, it just feels to me like the dam was already ready to burst of people not wanting to wear masks. And I don't know if we're going to be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube on this. I will tell you that I went biking this morning. And, you know, and let me just be clear, outdoors, the risk of you getting COVID from someone, as far as we understand, is extremely low. Like in an outdoor environment, there's lots of airflow. You're brushing past someone for like 2 seconds.
And you are vaccinated.
I personally am vaccinated, you know, so it's just like very low risk. But despite that, I would say like when I went like biking before, I would say a good like 50% of people still wore masks, right? Like a couple weeks ago, people still were wearing masks because they were being like very cautious. Today I go, virtually no one. Pretty much everyone is maskless in accordance with CDC guidelines, you know, which is like, if you're outdoors, you don't need to be masked. It's fine. And I'm not saying it's like a bad thing, like what I saw today, but it's just kind of like, oh, like, it just feels to me like the culture is turning against the masks now. And I don't know if in the future we need to put the masks back on, how okay people will be with it. So anyway,
I don't know. I think I'll just say like order of operations wise, it feels like out of sequence to me. Like I thought it would be keeping your mask on while indoors in crowded environments would be the last thing that we kept doing because it's the lowest cost. And the things that we would relax first would be capacity restrictions. So we still have pretty strict capacity restrictions here in our county. I know different parts of the country are really different. Or it would be social guidelines or, you know, like physical distancing. Like it would be like okay to be 3 feet apart, but just keep your mask on if you're in a concert hall or something like that. And that a year from now, we would finally let go of the masks. That's what I thought would happen.
Yeah.
What's really strange to me is not just the timing of the mask thing, but that it came before everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, was this the most odious thing? Was it the most, you know, like, where does this fit into kind of an overall picture of how you protect yourself when we've had a framework that's about physical distance and circulation in the room and all this other stuff? Like, it felt pretty random to me.
Yeah.
As far as like whether now that in my view, we took away one fairly random and not terribly odious thing, but that's very politicized.
Requirement, the mask requirement. Yep.
Yeah. Like what will happen next? I mean, I think what's really interesting is that a lot of people have had the reaction that you and I had. There was a strong knee-jerk reaction from people who are like us, not epidemiologists, but people who read a lot of articles,
yeah,
who were like, fuck this, I'm keeping my mask on. This does not make any sense.
Yeah, and I'll just say I made a mildly viral TikTok video about how I'm still going to keep my mask on. And that video has thousands of comments, most of which are people saying I'm never like stopping wearing my mask. Right?
So I think what you're pointing to is like, could we shift the entire culture to be pro mask? Like maybe if the pandemic had lasted 5 years, you know, but like, I think that some subset of people are certainly way more open to masks, myself included, you know, like I would have looked at a person who wore a mask previously and prior to the pandemic and thought like, what is wrong with that person a little bit? Like, are they terribly infectiously ill that they need to be wearing this right now? And
now we don't feel that way.
My Instagram feed is, I mostly follow businesses in our area.
Yeah.
It is just filled with business after business after business saying, totally respect the CDC. We're still going to require masks.
Yes.
We're still going to require masks of our employees. We're still going to require. And I have to say that's so heartening to me because we are, while other places in America are not necessarily going to get to herd immunity, I believe that our county will. So we're already at, so this is a slightly different number than the, I don't want to compare it to the New York Times number you used. This number is for people 16 plus.
Yep.
But 72% of them in King County have already received one dose of the vaccine and 52% have received two doses. So we're like way ahead. I believe we're going to put in, and we are putting in, many of the investments required for equity. Many of our minority populations are actually ahead of the white population average. And the places that are remaining where we need to get more people vaccinated are areas that are lower income. And I think it's absolutely about access and not hesitancy. So I think we can get to great numbers, and that is such an incentive for me to just hold on, whether that's keep my mask on or stay at home or whatever, just give it another, I don't know, 6 weeks, 10 weeks. Like, what? That's nothing in the grand scheme of things compared to people's health when I've been inside for like a year and change.
Yeah.
And so for me personally, I think that our community, which is very progressive, which is very compliant overall, like really is going to stick together till the end on this one. Like overall, that's my feeling.
Yeah.
And yes, you saw some people who were not wearing their masks outside riding bikes, but I bet if you went indoors, you would see people predominantly wearing masks.
Perhaps. Apoorva Mandavilli, the New York Times reporter, talked a little bit about the reaction to the CDC news, and it really captured kind of, I think, a lot of the frustration and ambivalence about it. She says, quote, "First, the good. Nearly everyone I spoke to said science supports the CDC guidance. They may not have been true. That may not have been true even 2 to 3 weeks ago. But now case numbers have rapidly fallen. Vaccine rates have swiftly risen, and it's genuinely safe for vaccinated people to go mask-free. Also key is that there is increasing evidence that while vaccines don't always prevent infection, nearly everyone who is vaccinated has mild symptoms, if at all. This seems to be true for all vaccines against all variants. So trust the guidance. Now the bad. The same experts who are supportive of the science also worry about how this will be implemented. Are we supposed to be checking up on neighbors, customers, friends? Will we need vaccination passports? Should we rely on an honor code? Some experts worry that everyone who wants vaccines has access to them, and not everyone who's vaccinated produces a strong immune response. This puts all those people at risk because, let's face it, lots of unvaccinated people will stop wearing masks. The mask-free benefit may give people an incentive to be vaccinated, but if no one is checking anyway, it may also work the opposite way, by removing all incentive for anyone who is hesitant to bother getting vaccinated. Bottom line, this is a rapid about face with not a lot of detail. Just days ago, we heard mask-free outdoors is okay, but we still need to mask indoors. Now it's okay anywhere. People who understand health comms are rightly frustrated with the CDC's approach. In some ways, the CDC can't win. Someone's always unhappy, but this might be a rare moment when the CDC managed to be both too fast and not fast enough. Move too slowly with the science, rush the announcement too much." End quote.
Well, you know, what I hold in my head is like, Biden gave a speech in which he was like, the vaccine is coming, but I need your help. I need you to hold on. And then for July 4th, we can have small outdoor gatherings safely with your family. And at the time, I know lots of people in other communities were already having small outdoor gatherings with their families.
And have continued to throughout this year.
And we were not amongst them. I mean, we did a handful of those with masks. But I wouldn't even call it a gathering, really. But I think I really appreciated, you know, I'm moved by calls for like public cooperation so that we can get to like a shared goal, right? And it seems like we are not even at Memorial Day, much less July 4th. And the guidance, yes, like the science is looking very promising, but like, wow, like this is so much more permissive than what he had even held out as the July 4th goal. So it's both more permissive and faster. And at the same time, we are, from that announcement to this one, we have uncovered this massive chunk of people who are immovable in their opposition to the vaccine. And so I'm just like, are we, you know, what's our, the story I'm trying to put together is, are we just saying like, okay, like screw it, those people will never get vaccinated and they may just get really sick and be a burden on our healthcare system. Oh, well, fuck them.
Well,
I don't think that's right, but
no, but for multiple reasons. First of all, you keep referring to them as immovable and I don't like that, because I think they actually are movable. It just will take more work. Likely on an individual level than what we've already put in, right? Like it's going to be a long and difficult road, but I don't think they're immovable. That saying they're immovable makes it sound hopeless.
Okay, but probabilistically, I think a huge percentage of them, even with individual multiple detailed discussions, will not move in the short run. That's what I mean.
I mean, we also have like many, not studies, but like anecdotal reports of like people being able to move those people using incentives. A significant portion of the unvaccinated people say like with a $50 gift card, they would be willing to get vaccinated. People have said, you can't see your grandkids unless you get vaccinated. That has motivated people. Like it's a spectrum and I just don't want to lump them all into movable.
That's fine. Yeah. I think that's fair.
But the other point you made was like, that I mean, wasn't part of the reason this was relaxed in order to try and move them? You know what I mean? Like that is theoretically.
I literally can't follow that. You know, like right. I hear those words, but it's like the weirdest if then statement I've ever heard. You know, yeah. Like if Jell-O is orange today, then it will rain. You know, like I.
Right. Well, the idea being like, hey, get vaccinated and you can hang out. You know, you can go into stores now. And it's like, well, can I go into stores anyway? I'll just tell them I'm vaccinated. It's like,
yeah,
technically,
no.
Yes, but not if you're an honorable person. Maybe there is a small fraction of people who like are actually going to say, I'm not vaccinated and therefore I'm not going to go into the store.
But to your point, 30-something percent of people have both shots, and 40-something percent of people have at least one shot, according to the New York Times numbers. And again, I think that's the whole population. So as we add children, it will... those numbers will go up. But assuming that the 40-something percent with one shot all get the two shots and that time goes by and, you know, even though the rates are slowing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that sliver of people is going to move the needle from, you know, herd immunity or from wherever we are to herd immunity. And I again, think herd immunity is a thing we need to just pour one out for and, like, grieve for sure. The concept of.
Sure. According to Lawrence Gostin, director of Georgetown University's O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law, he said on Twitter, the CDC is betting that by giving wide freedom to vaccinated people, it'll encourage the hesitant, but there's no behavioral evidence for that. What's more likely to happen is that both vaccinated and unvaccinated people will take off their masks, end quote. So kind of agreeing with what you're saying. The other thing I wanted to mention, just as we're closing here,
I also have a topic I want to mention. So let's see if it's the same one.
No, you can go first. Go ahead.
Well, it's a question, actually.
Okay.
What is your personal... So one of the strange things about being vaccinated is we live in you and I live together as a married couple, and then we have a neighbor who has effectively been in our bubble with
no masks. She's basically
our
roommate.
Yeah.
You can consider her a roommate.
Even though she's, you know, living next door. So the three of us have been... in close coordination and collaboration about all of our quote unquote risk events. You know, like if one person has a doctor's visit, we all know about it.
Yep.
And we talk about how to mitigate the risk and like how busy was it and how much time did you spend, yada, yada. So basically it felt like when you're pregnant, you're eating for two, you know, like in the pandemic, we were risking for three. And like now, our risks are effectively decoupled because there's like kind of a blast radius put around an individual's choices by the vaccine.
Yep.
So I'm curious for you personally, what is your behavior going to be going forward given this information? And I'd love to share with you what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I will continue to wear, The question to ask is, my answer to your question is I'm going to continue to wear masks in virtually all situations, right? The question is, why am I doing that? And as I think through the rationale, is it because I think I'll get the coronavirus and die from it? No. Even if I was maskless, I believe that the vaccines work. Scientific studies have shown that they're efficacious. So like, it's not that it's that I think I'll die. Well, maybe it's a little bit that I think I'll die because I don't know that the full variants story has been told yet. Like, I don't know that the book of the variants, we've gotten to the last chapter of like what's going to happen there yet. And like so far, it seems like pretty encouraging that like the vaccine is pretty efficacious against the variants. But like, I don't know enough to be able to say, yes, 100%, no matter how many times this thing mutates, if it mutates like 1,000 times, like I'm still going to be vaccinated against it. So I have no idea. There is also the thought that we will need booster shots in the future, which means like there might be some distance between, you know, when I need it and when I'm actually going to get it. And so, you know, and so it's like, you're just better off keeping the mask on, in my opinion. Also, a lot of people have said like there's just other benefits from keeping a mask on, like you don't get sick as often, you know, and also me personally, David Chen, I want to normalize mask wearing in American society and I want to do my part. So that's the cascading kind of set of reasons why I'm going to continue to wear a mask in public spaces whenever it makes sense.
For me, I'm going to go you one further.
You're wearing masks indoors right now at all times now, right?
Yeah, when we make out. I went jogging yesterday by myself mm-hmm. on our street that's like not very busy, and I wore a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. Like, I want to send the signal that it's okay to still wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, though, and I'm willing to live with the consequences of being viewed as more foreign or more, you know, at least for now, I'm willing to, particularly in our neighborhood, I'm willing to like take that.
Yeah.
Risk. But I really don't want to get COVID. I don't want to get mild COVID. I don't want to get asymptomatic COVID. I have a pre-existing health condition that has truly sucked for the past month, and I'm not trying to rock the boat, period. Like, I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get anything, and I really don't want to get a thing that has like a long haul case version that is yeah. like not well understood nor well treated. That may sound like paranoia. I will spare everybody listening the extensive amount of understanding I have of my symptoms and diagnosis, but just trust me, I think you would probably come to the same conclusion. And for that reason, I will actually continue to double mask because it doesn't bother me. You know, I don't yeah. wear glasses. I just don't think there's a lot of downside,
yeah.
particularly if I go into any mixed, like any space where it's potential that I'll mix with unvaccinated people.
Right. Yep.
So for instance, today I went to an open house of a house down the street that I was honestly just curious about, actually like looking at a house. And I wore the KN95 mask, which is my better one. I didn't double mask because I knew I was just breezing through,
yeah.
you know, and it
yeah.
would be a really short visit. Everybody else wore masks, which I felt really good about. And that feels like, you know, if I start to see lots of other people not wearing masks, I'll probably double mask. But the mask is not to protect other people from me. Like, that's the story we had earlier in COVID. Now the mask is to protect me from other people. And I understand that it doesn't have 100% efficacy, and it's not like I have yeah. like the true N95 with the like perfect fitting to my own face, but I have high incentive to avoid this thing. And while I've just touted King County's great progress in vaccination, King County is not making great progress in actual COVID case counts. It's okay, but we definitely had a spring surge that not everyone had in the country.
Yeah.
And it's not like I feel like we're on the clear path to eliminating this thing. So I just want to
yeah.
do my bit there.
Again, people spiking the football before we got there. Like Seattle had done really, really well for a long time. And then I think people were just like, ah, we did pretty well. Like now time to like live life a little bit more. And then,
well, it was all among younger people who yeah. weren't vaccinated,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. I do think the variants of concern are circulating here. So knowing that those are a little more infectious, like that's another reason for me to wear a mask. I think the CDC guidance does make me feel more comfortable with something I was honestly not feeling great about, which is even being indoors with vaccinated people
yeah.
who, like, I have a friend who works at a vaccine clinic, and her boyfriend is an ICU nurse. So yes, they're both vaccinated, but they're in kind of like pretty high-ish risk like environments.
Yeah.
And even she doesn't necessarily want to be indoors with people because she's like, yeah, I'm vaccinated, but I know I'm still carrying like a little bit more risk than other people. And those are the kinds of things that have been weighing on me at the edges. Now I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable, like, okay, if the vaccine really does protect me from transmission and protects her from transmission, then probably it's okay for us to just have coffee at my house together.
Yeah. 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 All right. I'm going to say one final thought about this. This is, you know, as we tell the story of the pandemic to ourselves, our narratives for it will change over time. Here's the narrative that's really prominent in my mind right now. Mark Perrone, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, said in a statement, quote, today's CDC guidance is confusing and fails to consider how it will impact essential workers who face frequent exposure to individuals who are not vaccinated and refuse to wear masks, end quote. He's kind of commenting about how, like, you know, essential workers will bear the brunt of this thing. That was something you referred to earlier. But there was a separate article at Slate that this reminded me of, which is, quote, "I do not trust people in the same way, and I don't think I ever will again," end quote. That is the headline of the piece. And it's about how employers are bringing people back into work, and a lot of people aren't ready to go back. And one of the reasons is given voice by this one worker who says, quote, "Even when things are as safe as possible, there's a sense that we've been torn apart. Maybe I was naive, but I always assumed in a crisis we'd come together as a society and have each other's back. It's been over a year of being proven wrong about that over and over again. Knowing that the people I serve at work and the ones I run into in my life may or may not be willing to throw me overboard for their own personal benefit and comfort makes it hard to be around people. I feel differently about how I viewed the world and how much I want to interact with it. And I need to work on that, but I think the impact of this will linger," end quote. And there's other people, you know, somebody else who's talking about, like, another person wrote, quote, "I do not trust people or institutions in the same way, and I don't think I ever will again. Even as we go back to normal, I will not forget how our societies treated vulnerable people and essential workers as expendable, minorities as scapegoats, facts and public health as suggestions or lies," end quote.
Yeah, you know, there have been many, 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 many stages to this thing. And when I think back to, like, last March, you know, I almost, like, can't think clearly because it's, like, just mush in my head. But from people taking it seriously in the first place, I remember a really good friend of mine who was white, like, minimizing the idea that this was, like, a real issue. And I think it was late February, early March. And I finally said to her, "I don't know, like, how to tell you this, but I'm not white. And, like, I don't have the same trust in our government that you have." And she called me a week later. She was actually not, like, upset when I said that at all. But she called me a week later and she's like, "Yeah, you were right. And I really understand, like, where that came from." So I'm not saying she's an example of someone I'm upset with, because I was really appreciative of her openness to what I was saying. But whether it's colleagues in the office not taking it seriously and making jokes about it from the beginning, to people pushing back on the idea that we'd all need to go home, to people not sanitizing their hands and, you know, not taking the distancing seriously, you know, like, you can go just month by month, you know, all the things that have been disappointing. Another one I would point out is people lying to jump the vaccine line. I mean, the vaccine rollout accelerated so fast that we may forget that that happened. But I know.
Yeah.
I have a friend who did it, and I know of a second friend.
Yes.
And, or I guess a friend of a friend. And the conversation we had, you and me and others, is like, it's not that it mattered to us that they took the vaccine. It didn't harm us directly or harm people we know directly. But you really kind of think, in the zombie apocalypse, this person's just going to go for the sack of food on their own, right? Like, they're not going to leave any for you.
Well, the analogy is commonly, they will lie about having being bitten by the zombie.
Yeah. Right?
They're the person that stays in the group even though they were bitten. And they're going to turn at some point.
And so I definitely have friends who I look at and I'm like, oh, that is really interesting that these were your choices for the past year. And my friendships probably won't all survive in the same way because of differing levels of trust that were harmed. And, you know, the truth is there are also people with whom I have more trust now.
Right.
People
yeah,
who
sure.
I'm closer to than I would have been otherwise.
AKA the people in our bubble, for starters, right? But, like,
well, we have an extended bubble. You know, we have, like, a few other people were like, oh, I see you. I see you out there not doing anything.
It's true. It's brought us, you know, closer together to other people who share our values. And it's just refocused a lot of things. But
yeah, I mean,
but it's been an endless, I think the point you're making is it's been an endless series of losing faith in humanity, an endless series of things that show that we should not have faith in humanity. And
I didn't have very high faith in humanity to begin with. So, like, it's not so much that I've lost it so much as it has been rearranged for me. And there is no planet in which the CDC saying, like, it's summer, y'all, like, I am not with it. I'm still marching to the beat of my own drum and making my own decisions, and my own decisions are predicated on trust very little.
Thanks for listening. That's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Culturally Relevant. I hope this has helped you sort things out. Obviously, it's something we have very complicated emotions about. We are not health experts. You should not consider anything on this podcast to be medical advice. Hopefully, it just helps you to process the stuff that you're hearing out there in the world. Find more episodes of this podcast at culturallyrelevantshow.com. Email us at culturallyrelevantshow@gmail.com. Follow this podcast on Twitter at CrevShow, CrevShow. This podcast is powered by Simplecast. Check them out at simplecast.com for a great podcast management and analytics solution. Joy, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.